Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I want to talk about promises for just a few moments tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 9, if you will, in verse 13. That's where we're going to start on some thoughts about promises. I kind of had some time to do some premeditated thinking on maybe what I want to talk about tonight more than surrounding some other events. And so I thought we'd talk about God's promises. And really, with a little lesson titled, There's a Rainbow in the Clouds. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, where God speaks to Noah and says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That bow is the rainbow. That bow is a beautiful reminder that God says what He means. God means what He says. And dear friends, let me tell you now, the rainbow stands for God's promises. Now, we live in a world where people with perverted minds have made the rainbow stand for everything except for what God had planned for it to stand for. It doesn't stand for a prideful situation vehemently defying God's plan. It doesn't stand for acceptance of any thought or belief. Every time we see a rainbow, God said, I'm going to put it there, and it shall be a token, a remembrance. And I like to think that after every rain, when you and I look out and we see the rainbow, that's God reminding Himself, I'm not going to destroy the earth the way I did with Noah. The next time He's going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. That's a promise, dear friends. Don't let the world mistake you or have you mistaken that the rainbow stands for pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I'm not preaching on that, although we could spend hours on it. But I want us to take that beautiful idea of a rainbow and remind ourselves that God keeps His promises. There are seven colors in the rainbow, and I have seven quick promises that God has left us. Now, He's left us more than seven, and we could spend hours and hours, but I think seven will suffice. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, if you will, right before where Brother Mark read from. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. One promise from God is assistance or help for our needs. Notice here what the Hebrew writer says as he begins to conclude his sermon. Let your conversation or your lifestyle, your conduct, be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly or confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man may do unto me. That's a pretty good confidence, isn't it? That no matter what the enemy, whatever the world may want to do to us, I'm not going to let it. Because the Lord is my helper. But notice here in verse 5, He says, I will never leave thee. That means He's going to be there when we need help. Now, a lot of times in life, people say, I just searched around and I couldn't find God. That's because they had strayed away. God's not the one who moves. Man may wander off, drift off. Even the Hebrew writer in chapter 2 talks about not letting them drift, like the idea of a boat just being slowly pulled out to sea. No, God is always there. And all it takes is a step to turn back to Him when we need help or assistance. So number one, He gives us help. Number two, let's go back to the book of Psalms for a moment, if you will. Psalm number 46 and the first three verses. He provides us strength. Not only does He give us help, dear friends, He gives us strength for our weaknesses. Psalm 46 and the first three verses. This psalm has a title, To the Chief Musician, which means it was a song that would have been put to a musical notation and would have been played probably in a form of public worship. For the sons of Korah, these were instruction psalms. The sons of Korah served in temple worship, a song upon Alamoth. That might have been a tune that they would have used, or a key even. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then you pause for Selah. Number two, promise from God is strength for our weakness. I think about a refuge, a place of safety, but is also our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. I tell you what, when the storm of life is beating against the door, I would much rather be in a stronghold than out in the middle of a field, let me tell you right now. I would rather have that sure anchor of the soul so I'm not tossed about like the wind. A promise of God, he said, I will be there for your weakness. While we're in Psalm, go ahead and pick up Psalm 119, verse 105. This would be number three. Psalm 119, 105. We go to this one a lot. God's promise is guidance. God's promise is guidance. Notice here, the psalmist says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now this doesn't mean, as some in the world want it to mean, that I'm going to look out and God's going to cause a beam of light to come down and literally show me the way. It's not what he does. But if we read his word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That implies that we must study, dear friends. We must spend time because I tell you what, this book right here is the Bible. And that stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Your basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells me how to get to heaven. But I have to follow its commands. Just like if I want to get to Nashville, I must follow those directions precisely, or I won't make it to Nashville. If I want to go to heaven, I must follow God's directions precisely in the Bible.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Let's move on now. He provides help, he provides strength, he provides guidance. Go to John chapter 14, if you will. John chapter 14, the first four verses, he provides us cheer for our discouragement. Cheer for our discouragement. You know, maybe you do, maybe you've noticed, I tend to look on the positive side of things. I am a firm believer that every day with Jesus is a good day, and you can always find something good in every day. It may be as simple as the fact that you woke up. That may be the good thing in the day, but that's good nonetheless. And there are times where we get discouraged, times when friends turn their backs on us, times when plans just don't work out the way that you and I had planned for them to, and we get discouraged. I want you to notice that Jesus here is speaking to those disciples, those chosen few of his, and they were discouraged because he's been telling them, I'm getting ready to leave. But the first time he told them he's getting ready to leave, that was a few years off. Now it is imperative. Notice, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, well, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if, this is conditional. And if I go to prepare a place for you, pause. He has, right? He read. I could read the end of the book of John's Gospel. He left. So, if I go, what's going to happen? I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. He has just encouraged those who were discouraged. See, that's a promise, dear friends of God. He provides encouragement for cheer for the discouraged. Many times these verses have brought many hours of comfort for those who are weeping. So he provides cheer, strength, help, guidance. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5. In fact, we've got two different ones in Romans 5. Romans 5, the first two verses. Let me show you, dear friends, God's word. He provides peace for the turmoil. He provides peace for turmoil. Notice here, Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Number five, he provides peace for our turmoil. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but we live in a world that's filled with turmoil. And just as soon as one conflict dies down, somebody else gets mad at a different group and they rise up and they start fighting. And so we pray for peace. And a lot of times people are fighting over things that they've been fighting over for thousands of years. And it's not going to stop anytime soon, unfortunately. But we can still seek to be peacemakers. Blessed are they that make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. He provides us that sweet, perfect peace for our turmoil. That's number 5. Number 6, stay in this chapter, verse 13. Chapter 15 and verse 13. I knew that looked wrong. Romans 15 and 13. That's a good verse, but not the one I was thinking of. Romans 15 and 13. Notice here, he provides us joy for our sorrows. We have joy. Notice here, Paul says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He provides us joy when we're having times of sorrow. How comforting is it to know that when we're going through something difficult, maybe we're not the only ones. No temptation's taken you such as is common to man. We all face common temptations. We all face common sicknesses. We all are affected by death of loved ones. Yet at the same time, he provides us joy because we have that blessed hope. He says, "Fill you with all joy and all peace, that you may abound in hope." You know, when you go to the funeral home and somebody who died in the Lord, that's a pretty hopeful gathering, isn't it? Because they've just opened their eyes up to something far better than you and I are experiencing. He provides us joy for our sorrows. But let's go back to Proverbs and close this out. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. He also provides us power for our defects. Power for our defects, because we have those. I don't know if you've noticed. Notice here these encouraging words from Solomon to his son. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Let's pause here. You ever thought about who says this? This is Solomon. This is the same man, the son of David, the man after God's own heart. The same Solomon that in 2 Kings chapter 11, the Bible says that he let strange wives, which means unauthorized wives, they pulled him away from God to serve other gods, lowercase g. Well, notice here what he says. If anybody knows what it means to trust or not trust in God, it would be Solomon, because he made that mistake, right? So he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Once again, he's not going to light up which step to take, but you trust upon him in obedient, trusting faith. Read his word. He'll show you where to go, how to live, how to get to heaven. Well, these are some pretty good promises, aren't they? Help for our needs, strength when we're weak, cheer when we're discouraged, guidance for the chaos, peace for our turmoil, joy for our sorrow, and power for our defects. Doesn't that kind of sound like everything we're lacking in? "My God shall supply over and above everything which you hope for." That's the God that we serve. That's the same God that Noah served that gave Noah that promise. Dear friends, he was faithful to Noah. He'll be faithful to you as well. One promise is, if you're faithful to me, I'll be faithful to you. One promise is that he's going to send his son back to inflaming fire to take vengeance on those that know not God. That's a promise. Now, that might be a punishment if you don't know God. But he's going to send his son back one day, and you need to be ready. If you're not ready, he's promised the way to forgive your sins is by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You go down that watery grave, you come out a new creature alive in Christ. Dear friends, take it from firsthand experience. The water in there might be cold today, but it's in there. I can vouch for that. And you could become a Christian this very hour. Dear friend, if you are a Christian, I can also vouch that God has promised in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he will forgive them. If you need to return home or you need to come home to start with, believe in God's promises and become obedient today. If we can help you in any way at all, we humbly ask you let it be known while we stand and while we sing.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.